Hello, today I'm interviewing Charles Meist, who worked at the Universal Match Company in Greenport. Can you tell me a little bit about the Universal Match Company?
Well, it's a company that most people don't realize that we made matches as a commodity. Our main business was selling advertisement, because all the advertisement is on the matchbooks that people would see every time they strike a match. So it's the advertising business that we were in, and the match part of it was just a commodity that came along with it.
What were the positions you held at Universal Match?
Well, I started out as assistant supervisor on the second shift, worked my way up to supervisor on the first shift. Then I became department head of the shipping and receiving department for a while, till they closed down. And then when they started closing down and we shipped everything out for the Universal Match part, I transferred over to our feuder department, which was our lighter division. I worked there as a shipping manager.
Do you know when the company opened its doors in Greenport approximately?
I believe it was in the 1930s. There used to be an old car factory that made car bodies there. Then Universal Match took it over and turned it into a match company, where we've done everything from scratch. We got the rolls of paper in for printing the match books. They come into our plant. We cut them into sizes. They printed all the advertisement on them, sent it over to the what they call a strip department, and they made all the matches that go inside it, and then to the assembly department, where they assembled them all together. And we made probably on an average of maybe 6 million books of matches a day. And then we sent them out to the shipping department and ship them out to the customers.
How did you come to work at Universal Match?
That was strictly by chance. I was laid off from Gifford Wood Incorporated for a time, and then I was going to the unemployment agency looking for work, and they wanted to know if I wanted a job in management at Universal Match, and I told them I'd do anything. I went up there and interviewed for the job, and then a couple weeks later they hired me.
Once you were hired, how did you describe the feeling working at the company?
I enjoyed it. It was a good company to work for. I got to know a lot of people, because when I was hired, I was one of the youngest people there, because when I worked there, there was probably maybe 75% were women. And women had to be 21 to work at nights. So when I was hired at night, I was probably the youngest one there because I was only 21. So everybody was older than I was, so I was working with a lot of older women like that, but I got along good with them. A lot of them I knew because they were family friends, and I enjoyed working there, and I enjoyed working there right up until the time we left.
When did they close, or when did you leave?
I walked out of the door, out of the place in 1989, and the only one I left behind was the security guard and the plant manager.
When did you walk in? When did you start?
1968, I started working there. So I worked there just over 21 and a half years.
Do you think there were a few hundred people there when you came there?
Yeah, I would say there was probably I think it was between 300 and 400 people. We were the largest, second largest. I think the hospital was the only largest employee that we were in the county at the time. And I think we were the second largest.
Were they unionized?
Yes, they had a union. It treated the people well. It's tough when you have union and management working together, but as long as they worked together and had the same goals of selling matches and the advertisement and getting the orders out on time, it worked out fairly well.
Outside of the work that was done, all the matches were made in the plant?
Everything was done completely in the plant, from scratch. So anything that was done outside the plant was the actual selling. The salesmen that were from our main office in St. Louis and in Los Angeles at the time. They'd done all the sales. They sold all the matches and like that. And then they sent all the orders into our main plant, and it all came through us. We'd done everything from scratch, from the beginning to the printing on it and to the assembling of the matches and shipping them out. We'd done everything complete.
I believe you told me before I interviewed you that the profit was made in advertising, not selling match books.
Right. We sell advertisement. Match books, the matches itself came along with the commodity that come along with advertisement, because we feel that when you got a, if you get a flyer in a mail, you get a flyer, you open it up, you look at it, and you probably toss it aside or throw it away. But a matchbook, when you get a matchbook, every time you strike a match, you see our advertisement. So you're there on the smaller books, you've seen it at least 20 times. On the larger books, you've seen it 40 times, 50 times, so you're always seeing it. So it's a good source of advertisement.
So the matchbooks would have, let's say, the company name, or like the restaurant name, but what, you'd flip it up and see Universal Match in the inside part?
Very little letters down to the bottom of the matchbook tells you where it was made. If it was made in our plant here in Hudson, New York, or a plant in Los Angeles, or our plant in St. Louis. And it's very little that tells that where it was actually made. If you didn't know where to look, you wouldn't find it. All the advertising was for the company that paid for the advertisement.
Anyway, advertisement, so you'd sell advertisement. Let's say I had a business, Rob's Restaurant in Hudson, and I would purchase these, I don't know how many, hundreds of matchbooks that I would have at my restaurant. I'd be paying X amount because of the ads to advertise my... I see, so when someone carries a matchbook, they say, oh, gee, Rob's Restaurant, and there's the phone number. So you're helping me advertise myself. So there's a premium. So I don't know, let's say you had customers, they could certainly be you could have an account with thousands and thousands of dollars from one customer, couldn't you?
No, because all we do is, you put the order in for the matches you want, the advertisement you want on it, and it's a one-shot deal.
Oh.
You buy the matches, and you buy them in what they call case lots. There's 2,500 matches, books of matches in a case. So you say you want so many cases, you pay for that price of them so many cases, and that's it. Unless you want to reorder, you know, we're done with you.
But for Universal to make money, is it to get frequent orders?
Oh, yeah. We get a lot of returns. Different restaurants, even local restaurants in here, they would buy maybe, say, 4 or 5 cases, and then maybe 7, 8 months down the road, they'll buy another 4 or 5 cases. So we always get people coming back, return orders. That's a lot. And we for a long while, we had what they called New York State Lottery. We made millions of matches for them. We were considered the Cadillac of the industry.
My goodness, I probably even had a matchbook. Never knew about it. Of course, people were smoking more, but matches are still used for lighting. People use them for other things still.
Correct.
For homes. Yeah. I still see them. The next question I like to know is how did you come to, or did you grow up in Hudson or Greenport?
Yeah, I grew up in Hudson all the while. I lived there all my life until I got married and I moved out into Greenport. Then I lived in Greenport for the last 20 years, 22 years, 23 years.
Did your father come? And you were born in Hudson?
Yes. My father come from Pennsylvania, but he lived here from a youth. My mother was born and raised here, and all my siblings, all my brothers and I were raised here.
And you enjoyed growing up in Hudson at the time?
Oh, yes. Yeah, Hudson was a Hudson was a good place to live. I mean, we'd done, my father worked at the old, what they call the V&O Press. Worked there for 48, 49 years. And so we had, you know, he was established here. My mother worked in the old, what they call the Hudson Knitting Mills for years. So we all, you know, grew up here. We all went to school here. So it was a good life. And I said, there's a lot of activity to do in Hudson at the time. When you're growing up a kid, you always had some place to go and some activities to do.
And you stayed right in the area the whole career?
Yes. The only time I left this area was when I was joined the U.S. Navy and went away for my 3.5 years. And other than that, I came right back. As I said, I enjoyed the area. I had all friends and family here, so it was the place to be.
So it sounds like you've had a great time here. You've raised your family here. You have some grandchildren right in the area.
I've got kids here yet. My daughter, my son is here. One daughter's down south in Florida. But I got, between my wife, myself, we got 13 grandkids here. And we got a great-granddaughter here. So we've got a lot of family.
You know, it's been very interesting hearing your story, and there's a lot more. It's been nice for me to meet you and your wife, Linda. I know you from the Catholic Church in Hudson, which is a great place to meet a lot of people. And you've been so nice to invite me to dinner out, as well as having lunch. Previous to our interview, I want to thank you so much, Charles, and your lovely wife, Linda, for letting me have this time to chat with you. And it's going to be great to... I'm sure my listeners are going to enjoy the story that you've given about your life here in Hudson, where you worked here. Thank you very much.